NewRadioSportsNetwork.com, joined once again, as we are each and every week, by the Green Bay Gamblers head coach and general manager, Pat Mikisch, coming off a couple of wins at the Rec Center, 7-0-1 at the Rec Center in 2020, to kind of kick things off as we head into 2021. And how much is the Rec Center a home rink advantage for your team?
Well, I mean, I think a big part of it is just we don't have the same amount of fans and everything like that, but it's still that New Year's game gave the most excitement that we've seen all year with it as far as attendance and everything. But you're playing at home, you feel comfortable, you get to dictate things. So, you know, like I think it in traditionally years here with our great fan base, and we get that military night and a teddy bear toss, I mean, then it's a huge advantage. But this year, it's just a real credit to our guys and, you know, how they've come out and played and kind of taken games over in the first period on a regular basis.
And you were able to capture some wins against Team USA. Obviously, those guys are kind of handpicked for tryouts and things like that. And we kind of mentioned it when we first started talking this season, but was there a little extra juice in the locker room after beating Team USA those two games?
Yeah, I mean, it's always exciting. You know you're playing against a real talented team, and we just wanted to make sure we didn't give them anything easy. But they skate so well, they're always tough to play against. But, you know, for right now, or for last weekend, it was great that we showed up and competed for the six periods against that group.
And we were joking before we got on. Things got a little bit more interesting on New Year's Eve than I think either of us had thought was going to go after the first period. And what is it like to have a game like that where it kind of goes a little bit towards one end as opposed to the other? And, of course, you had your biggest crowd of the season as well at the Rec Center for that one.
Yeah, I mean, up 2-0, down 4-3 in the second. We tie it up and then kind of go into that third period. And we played well. We dominated play. We had 22 shots. It was the most shots we've had in a period in a while. And then you go into overtime, and I liked our chances. I think we outshot them 8-0 in the overtime, hit a couple posts. And then with what the clock said is a tenth of a second left, we end up scoring that game winner.
And is that as close to a buzzer as you've ever seen a shot go in and have it count?
Yeah, that is. I've never been in a game that's gone positive that way. I think I've lost a couple games that have had that tenth of a second. I know Omaha and Sioux City had an overtime game that was identical earlier this year. So it's once in a while, this league's going to have those games, but there's lots of games decided, obviously, in the last 5 seconds, but to see tenth of seconds on clock is always interesting.
Yeah, that's got to be just a helpless feeling if, you know, obviously it's winner take all at that point, but, you know, a third period where it's the difference of, I might have to go back out to the center ice or not to take another puck drop. I mean, the puck can't hardly hit the ice before the clock starts and the buzzer sounds.
Yeah, exactly. So it was, I thought the ref was in great positioning. I mean, there's camera angles that show it both ways, but it was at zeros, basically, as it goes in. So, USA gets their one point. I think they would have liked to have gone to the shootout to compete for the second point, but it was a good win for us, and like we said, we got the crowd into it, and it was a good way to start off New Year's Eve for us.
And then you entering into the new year, you head down to Geneva to play the Chicago Steel at their place. And how do you even begin to slow down this team? They have two of the top scorers in the league, including Matt Carinato, who has 32 points. His teammate's the next closest at 24 points. How hard is that team to figure out how just to slow them down offensively?
They are. They're an extremely talented group. And, you know, we've played them 4 times now, and we've lost in a shootout. We lost in regulation 2 times now, and we beat them in regulation. So, you know, we're 1-2-1 against them. Like, I like the way we match up against their team. I like our depth versus their depth. But, you know, with Coronado, you know, he's just an elite player. I mean, he's the forward of the league, and we have Mason Lorie of the league. So, you know, if you look at what Mason's doing stat-wise for defensemen, I mean, that's he's that example for the forward group right now.
And we were also joking before we got on. You were mentioning that this semester break is usually kind of an interesting time for rosters like yours because if a college had some injuries and things like that, this is an opportunity for maybe they dip into some of their junior league players and says, hey, let's welcome you on camp. Let's just have you play on the team. It's hard to believe that, you know, a Mason Lori or a Matt Carnato don't get the invite to play whether they have injuries or not.
Yeah, well, a lot of times it comes down to scholarship money and, you know, how much money those schools have available and whether they want to bring a player in for only a half year. But, like, most cases where we've lost a player and other teams in our league have lost a player has been injury-based. And, you know, now a school might have some freed up scholarship money and they need to get a certain type of player in. So, you know, if Coronado would have left, I probably would have helped him pack. But no, I'm sure Northeastern, you know, realize that they've got a nice group out there already and they've got an excellent player coming in next year.
Yeah, and they probably would want him for a full season and not just a half a year.
Yeah, correct.
Muskegon, they come into town this weekend. You've been able to face them a few times this year, and obviously, you know, you're dealing with young players. How easy is it for you to maybe see on film or even during the game action, see how a team develops during the course of the season from maybe the first time you saw them to, you know, 3-4 games later?
Well, Muskegon came in as one of those, along with ourselves in Chicago, as, you know, favorites in the league this year with what we had returning. And they are another high offensive, high octane team. So we're going to have to score goals again this weekend. It's not going to be a 2-1 game. And if I'm wrong, I'll be absolutely shocked. I think we're going to need to continue to put our foot on the pedal and playing fast and creating chances. And Muskegon's going to do the exact same thing. I think looking around, both we're two of the top three power plays in the league, I believe. And you know, both teams' penalty kills need to improve. So special teams will be a key. You know, I mean, if we can find a way to shut down their power play and continue to have the success we're having, we'll be in a good spot. But their group of forwards, that older group, is doing, you know, what they were supposed to do over there. And they're creating and tough to play against. So it's going to be, you know, our experience against their experience, I think, right now. I don't think the young players in the league, the new players on our team or their roster, are the ones that are ready to take over a series. So it's going to be the vets taking on each other, I think.
When you look at film or when you talk to maybe other coaches of the team, are there teams in the league that have maybe taken huge steps from when you kicked off the season at the end of October, beginning of November, into 2021?
I think everybody's taking steps. It looks like Dubuque is starting to find ways. They were losing all those one goal games early in the season, and now, you know, week by week they're taking a little step up the ladder, and so we're going to see a lot of them coming up down the road here. So we're going to need to be a better team to match the improvements they've made. So, and I know they've added a couple players through some transactions. So I think they've added a little bit of depth and what it takes to, you know, compete against the other teams in their division.
And then finally here, a little off topic, we're probably under a week away now. Actually, yeah, a week away from NHL hockey coming back next week. I believe you said that you're a Red Wings fan. I will omit my choice. I will tell you that we have a rivalry there. Do some of the players on the team, do they get involved with maybe their NHL preferences in the locker room once we get the season started?
Yeah, you're going to once the rivalry games kind of pop up, you'll kind of see who, you know, and it's pretty regional. You know, Alex Cervenio is going to be a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. Cam Thiessen is going to be a Nashville fan. And, you know, our Canadian kids get kind of spread out. It'll be interesting to see how passionate a Matty Davis is about Edmonton, or is he a Calgary guy? So I've got my Red Wings. They keep telling me in all the articles I'm reading that we're improved, so I'm excited.
And do you kind of make time when you go on some of these weekend trips to kind of find a restaurant that might have a TV so you can check in on the action?
Well, this year we're out of restaurants with COVID.
Oh,
so
that's true.
It'll be less of that. But on the bus, we have the NHL Network, so the guys are always tuned into that. And almost after every game when we jump on a bus, there's an NHL game on. So it's always, you know, interesting to see which guys really like to watch a game and which guys are off to the video games.
Well, very good. Well, once again, the Green Bay Gamblers, they will battle the Muskegon Lumberjacks this weekend. We'll have the games for you on 104.1 WRLU and streaming worldwide at the new Radio Sports Network. Coach, as always, we thank you so much for joining us each and every week.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
You're listening to the new Radio Sports Network.